Well, good morning. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. It's just good to come together and to see what God has done in our hearts and in our lives this morning. Amen. We do want to thank you. First of all, we want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last Sunday, let's see, we picked up $517. So thank you for being faithful in giving to the church. You know, and you might say, well, what do you do with all the money that's picked up? It's, well, it went through all to buy all this, really, basically, to buy all the things that we have. And so we want to thank you for being faithful. You know, and I know, first of all, it's just faithful to God. You know, that's the main thing. But, you know, in giving, it helps us to reach the world, reach people for the kingdom of God. And so we want to thank you for being faithful. Also, I wanted to thank everyone for whoever cooked and supplied and helped for Mr. Douglas Reese's funeral. We do want to thank you for giving and helping in that area also. We certainly do appreciate it. Thank everyone, you know, for all that you've done. You know, we started working on this building, I think it was October? August? August? Cool. Okay, I didn't think, I thought it was October, I don't know, whatever. August. Well, anyway, you know, I want to, you know, you might say, well, you know, I know physically some people did more than others, you know, working on the building. But I tell you what, if you prayed for this building, you did a lot. If you gave tithe and offerings, you helped. If you came and put chairs together or cleaned walls or painted, whatever, just did whatever in this building, you have. And as your pastor, I want to give you a round of applause. You deserve it. I want to thank you for entrusting Jelaine and I, first of all, with your souls, but also with the things that you've given unto us. Thank you. You deserve a round of applause. And I thank you. And Jelaine and I know we thank you from the bottom of our hearts and all that you have given unto us. I know, you know, a lot of people did all kinds of things, but I want to thank you, Ron and Johanna. Thank them. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you, and I certainly do appreciate it. I thank you for all that you've given and all that y'all have done to help make this a suitable place that we can come together. I mean, we could have came together with no heat, no air conditioning, no chairs, no carpet, but, you know, who wants to? But thank you for making it suitable. But surely last, but surely not least, we want to thank our God. Because it is only through Him. You know, like we started with that first song, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And you know, and I know we look around and we're saying, look what the Lord has done. And I'm looking too and looking and thanking God. But let me tell you something else. When I think of look at what the Lord has done, I think of you. I think of the people. Look what the Lord has done. Some of you never thought you'd be in church in Gaydon. First of all, some of you never thought there'd be a church in Gaydon. But you see, God knows what is needed and what is needed in certain places. So, you know, when I think of Lord, you know, look at what the Lord has done, I look at you. I know some of you and even have come from places that, you know, were horrible situations, and our God has changed those things. Some of you were in dry places, desert places, and how God has snatched you out of that because of a cry from your heart and has brought you to a place where the river of God is flowing, where the power of God is, where God is moving, and where the anointing is at. And I thank God for that, what He's done in your heart and what He's done in your life. Look what God has done. You know, you look back a year from now and you're thinking, well, you know, where you were in your spiritual life, your spiritual heart. And you look back and you're thinking, oh my God, look at where I am today. Look at what God has done to me, done for me, how He's revealed His word unto us, how He's opened the heavens. You know, how God has poured out His Spirit upon you and it has entrusted you with His Spirit and His anointing. How God has worked in your heart to take things out of you that you know were not good. And you and I know, even for myself, were hindering us from accomplishing and doing what God wanted us to do. And how He came in and took those ropes that entangled us and cut those things off as we put our faith and trust in what Jesus did at the cross and only Him. You know, we come to celebrate. You don't know how many people have come where the Spirit of God has impressed upon their hearts that God is moving in this place. And I said, I know. And how God is just showing them things. And I said, I know what God is doing in our own personal hearts. How He's raising up a mighty army of believers. How God is just moving in the hearts of the people. Thank you. Second of all, thank you for sticking with us. Thank you. Like I said, about a year or so ago, I remember closing that door over there and one person was in it. I said, well, and then people came in after, but I mean, it was like, oh my God, Lord. But look what God can do. Look what God can do. Look at what the Lord has done in our hearts and in our lives. As we come to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today, as we gather to worship Him, to praise Him, and to honor Him this day. It says in Psalm 66:5, it says, I don't want to read it. It says, come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing towards the children of men. Now, I know they translated that word terrible, but it should have been translated amazing. He is amazing in His doings towards the children of men. He is amazing towards the children of men. Come and see the works of God. Man, you know, one soul for the kingdom of God is an amazing thing. One soul for the kingdom of God. One soul that says, Lord, I'm tired of living my life on my own. One soul that comes to Him is a great thing in the kingdom of God. A great thing in the kingdom of God. Come and see the works of God. He is amazing in His doing towards the children of men. He is an amazing God. Huh? Amen. He's an amazing God. An amazing God. Now look. Well, I know we sang that song, Look What the Lord Has Done. But also, look what He is going to do in our hearts and in our lives. I am more excited about what He has done in you than maybe this building. I thank God for it. I thank God for it. We're excited. But I tell you what, I'm more excited about what God's Spirit has done in you. I'm more excited about how God has brought you here. In whatever avenue, in whatever way. God will do whatever it takes to build the church and to make sure it functions right. Because God will place in the church the things that are needed to get the job done. And God has entrusted you to be here. So don't take it lightly. we'll take it, well, you know, whatever. No, take it very serious that God has handpicked you and put you here for a certain thing, to get something accomplished, to pray the anointing down, to see God move in your heart, in your life, and in this area. God wants to use you for His kingdom, to see things happen, because He uses people. He uses people to get the job done. So the anointing and the presence of God could move at will within the people. There's many souls out there that don't know Him. Think of yourself. Sometimes it may be good to remember. Think of yourself before you gave your heart to the Lord. How were you? Not too good. Not too good. How do I know that? Because you came to the Lord. You were searching for something. A lot of times God will let us go through horrible things to get us to the place to come, to seek Him, to honor Him. Look what the Lord has done. It says, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise His name each day. Is just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. You know, He healed my body. Can we remember the times that our God has healed us? You know, we could talk about healing. Is it going in and out? Or no, it's okay? Because I can't hear it here, I guess. Oh, okay. Please excuse us. This is our first service. You know that. So there's all kind of little things that just whatever, you know. So, talking too loud. You're good. All right. It says that He healed my body. Can you imagine? Can you thank God for how many times He's healed your body? He healed the physical body, but also He healed the spiritual body on the inside. My God, that's exciting. Look what the Lord has done. How He's healed your body. How He's given you direction. How He gave you the things that you needed, the finances that you needed, the power of God in your life and in your home. How He's given you the job that you have. Praise God. Praise Him for the food that we have. Praise Him for the finances. Praise Him for the vehicles we drive. No one walked here this morning, did nobody walk here? Praise God. Everybody had a vehicle. You might have bummed a ride from somebody, but that's okay. They had a car. Praise God. How God has given us things. The blessings of God. Look what the Lord has done. How He's given us direction when we needed direction. How He took depression away. When we were depressed and didn't know where to turn, He healed our body. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. My God, we need to get in this building. Don't worry about who's on the left and who's on the right, but worry about who's up there looking at us. And worry about who's in our hearts, giving Him the praise, giving Him the honor, giving Him the glory that He so deserves from His people. He deserves to be praised. He deserves to have a hand lifted up. He deserves to have our knees on the ground, worshiping in Him. He deserves us laying on the ground saying, Lord, help us. He deserves us running in this place, worshiping Him. He deserves those things for the price that our God paid. The price that Jesus paid on the cross. He deserves our praise. He deserves us to worship Him. He deserves us to give Him the things that He so desires from us. And that's a relationship with us. Thank God He never shuns us to the side and says, I don't need you. Thank God. Thank God. But he says, oh, when everybody else forsakes us, he says, come, come. And he brings us in with him. And he says, let me help you now. And we see how God just takes us and he puts his arms around about us as a father would and says, let me take care of you. Let me take care of you. Let me work in your heart. Let me show you things. Let me be with you. Let me be your God this morning. Let me be your God tonight. Let me be your God tomorrow. Let me be your God next week. You see, there's many things that God has planned for you individually. And there's many things that God has planned for us as a church. We just need to worship Him. We need to praise Him. We need to get with God. We need to praise Him and find out what it is. And in His timing, He shows His people what it is. It says He healed my body. In Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him. All the people saw him. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Here we see Peter and John. That looks like Joe, Steve, Otis, whoever, everybody. Just normal people. Normal people going to the temple to pray. And there was a man there that had been lame from birth. And he wanted some money. Which, hey, he needs money to live. He can't work. They look at him. And I know his eyes got this big when he started to say, silver and gold have I none. Or no water at all, you know, or no, you know, food, no nothing. Silver and gold have I none. That means Peter and John were saying, I have no money to give you. Nothing. Now, can you imagine what the man felt when he heard them say that they didn't have any money, because he thought they were going to give him money? Because you see, how many people passed by this man going to the temple? How many people passed by him coming out of the temple? He was there daily. So they kept passing him. And some people probably didn't like him because he was there all the time. Some people, you know, were just didn't like him, whatever. You know, just, he was always there. He was a menace to society. But he didn't realize that that day would change his life forever. And it says when Peter and John, they got to him, they said, silver and gold, no money. You know what the church today would have said? I have money for you here. Let me build you a house. Let me give you some water. Let me do this. And all those things might be okay. But you see, the man really needed healing of his body. The power of God. We have the money. The church body has the money. But no power. And you know what? We're going to change that. We want the money. Because you need money to get the gospel out. But also, we want the power of the Holy Ghost flowing through each and every one of our lives. We want to see the power of God moving in this place. We want to see the power of God moving in our community, in Gaydon, in Kaplan, in Vermilion Parish like never before. The best miracle is when people give their lives to Him. But I tell you what, as we seek Him, as we honor Him, we're going to see things change. We're going to see God move through us and in us if we humble ourselves before Him. You might wonder, well, you know, Pastor, why did you have us kneel before we started? I wanted us to consecrate our lives to Him. Because we can go through all the motions. Like a lot of churches are doing this morning. But there's nothing. It's like empty vessels of nothing. But I tell you what, you get the power of God in there. And you see God move. You know, there was a lady that went up to the pastor and said, you know, I've never read in the Bible that Jesus ever leaped, ever ran, ever shouted. And the pastor turns to the lady and he said, you're right. You're right. But everyone he touched did. Amen. Everyone he touched did. Just like the lame man. Under the power of God, when Peter and John, when they got there and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I give to thee. You know what they gave him? They gave him Jesus that was on the inside to that man. And it says that as they prayed with him, that his ankles became strong, his legs became strong, and he leaped up and they said, look what the Lord has done. And it says that he went walking and leaping and praising God throughout the temple. You know who got the praise? Jesus Christ. You know who got the glory? Our Father. You know who was praised? The Holy Spirit. Not Peter and John, but the power of God that went through that man, that changed his life and brought glory and honor to our God. Yeah. Praise God. That's what we need. We need a mighty move of the presence of God. And a mighty move of the presence of God will be when we humble ourselves before Him, when we pray and seek His face. In Acts chapter 2, it says that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the 120 that were left there when they prayed and sought Him, guys. We need to be a praying people. The foundation of this church needs to be a praying people that will pray and seek God and honor Him. And we're going to see shackles come off of people's lives. We're going to see shackles come off of our own lives. He's going to heal our bodies. He's going to heal our minds. He's going to touch us and make us whole. The power of God. The power. It says that He went walking and leaping, and they were filled, in verse 10, with wonder and amazement. He touched their minds. In Isaiah 26:3. Can you bring that scripture up? It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Our minds need to be stayed on thee. I know we got to think to work, and all, but towards him, towards him, towards him. And he saved us just in time. He saved us just in time. The second verse of that says, I was bound by chains of darkness. Now, we didn't sing this part, but that's okay. I was bound by chains of darkness and sin. I had no hope or peace of mind. Though my sins were red as scarlet, He washed them white as snow and opened up my blind eyes. Now, my soul will rejoice since I've made Him my choice. I've got joy, peace, and everything that's within. You see, my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can't you see what God's done for me? We were bound by chains, guys. Hebrews 12:1 says, lay it aside, all that entangles, by the blood of Jesus. Lay it aside. We were bound by chains. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Honestly, we were some messed up people. Look, just look at society without God. And we could be one of them. But for the mercy and grace of God, we were in darkness, in chains. I mean, but the grace of God, the grace of God that He's given unto us. We had no hope or peace of mind. But He washed them white as snow. Turn to Isaiah 1:18. White as snow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What the Lord is saying, it says, when we turn to Him, guys, what we did in the past, Jesus comes and takes it away. It's like we've never, ever done it before. It says, sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. As white as snow. Can you imagine? That's the kind of God you serve. Through the blood of Jesus, through what He did at Calvary's cross, that we can go to Him and ask forgiveness today. And He cleanses us, takes it away. And Jesus, the Father, looks at us. And when we go to Him, there's nothing between us. Nothing. There's no sin. There's no evilness. There's nothing there. And He looks at us and waits on us. Not because of what we have done, but because of who we know and who we pray to ask for forgiveness. And that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. Look what the Lord has done. You see my name. Now this is another part that was in it. It says, you see my name's written down. And Revelation 13:8 says that our names, as when we give our hearts to the Lord, that our names are written down, is called in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the Lamb, in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Also, go to Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke 10:20. Got it? Luke 10:20. It's coming. You don't have it? Luke 10:20. Well, I can look it up. You'll probably get it when I get there. It's okay. It says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our names are written, and that's part of that song. That says that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Look what the Lord has done. When David started to bring the Ark of the Covenant from Obed-Edom's house, because it stayed there for approximately 3 months, and he was starting to bring it to the temple in Jerusalem. For 3 months, David went and found out exactly how the ark should be brought. Because you see, sometimes man thinks they can do better than what God says. And so that's what happened the first time. Man, they had it on carts and they were worshiping and praising and doing all, but it wasn't brought correctly. And when God says to do something a certain way, it has to be done that way so the anointing and the presence of God can be there. And it says that they took the Ark of the Covenant and it was on the shoulders of the men. And as they would walk every few feet or so, that they would have to sacrifice unto God. I mean, that was a lot of blood being shed. Because sin is great. There's a great penalty for it. And so, but in the front of them, they had worshipers. They had the Levites that were one that worshiped God. Then they had the maidens, which were only ladies that worshiped God. Then in back of them, they had men, only men in that group of singers that would worship God. Praise going in to Jerusalem with the Ark of God, which was the presence of God, right in back. We need to be a praising church that just open our arms and say, Lord, I love you. Praising Him with our voices. Praising Him with everything on the inside. And as we worship Him, the presence of God will invade the place. That's what attracts God. What's that scripture? Oh, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. It's amazing to me that it does not say that He inhabits when people just come together. I know it says that when one or two are gathered in My name. But when people just come together. But it says that He inhabits the praises of His people. So as we gather together, praise should be upon our lips. As we sing the songs unto Him, as we worship with our hands lifted up, because as we do those things, as we praise Him in our minds and in our hearts and in our bodies, that the presence of God has to come. When we do things His way, it always happens. When we praise Him the way He says to be praised, from a pure heart, not a perfect heart, there's only one perfect one, but a pure heart before Him. It says that the presence of God, or you can even put it, the Ark of the Covenant comes in, which was in the Old Testament. We are now the Ark of the Covenant. Our hearts, where we embody the Spirit of God, and as we worship Him, as we praise Him, the presence of God will invade this place. As we worship Him, as we praise Him, it says that He inhabits the praises of His people. As we worship Him and praise Him, He will come. He will settle upon our hearts and upon our lives as we allow Him to move in us and through us. Look what the Lord has done. He's healed our bodies. He's healed our minds. He's healed everything in us. He's saved our souls. My God, He's brought us from destruction and despair and has given us a hope in Him. That's the kind of God you serve. You might say, Pastor, sometime my hope is gone. But you know what? Yes, it may sway a little bit. But I tell you what, fall back on your knees and settle things with Him. And put your faith back in Him. Don't lose the hope that He gives to His people. Don't look anywhere else, but only look to Him that can save your soul and that can give you direction and that can give you help. Look what God has done. And I tell you what, in a week from now or a year from now or months from now, you'll see how God has moved and changed things. The presence of God, the anointing of God upon your heart and upon your life. It says, and I'll end with this scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. God loves you. God cares about you. God has your best interests at heart. God loves you. God loves you. Look what the Lord has done and what He's going to do. Praise God. Why don't you stand, please?